The Production Expert Podcast is brought to you with the kind support of Autoria, Source Elements, and RSPE Audio Solutions.
Welcome to the Production Expert Podcast. I'm Julian Rogers, and in this week's edition, I'm joined by William Whitman and Russ Hughes. We're going to discuss the new products released in November 2021. Russ Hughes spent the 80s as a synth programmer for many top artists. He went on to spend several decades writing and recording. He also did a stint running a commercial post facilities in Soho, London. In 2008, he founded the Experts website after seeing many audio professionals didn't have free access to high-quality content. The rest, they say, is history. Welcome, Russ.
Thank you.
William Whitman is a Grammy Award-winning producer, engineer, musician, songwriter based in New York, whose credits include the multi-platinum debuts from Cyndi Lauper, Joan Osborne, The Hooters and The Outfield. Welcome, William.
Thank you. Hello.
Very loose agenda today. It's halfway through December, actually, so I think we can probably extend this to anything that's happened up till then. But we have a short list of things that have caught our eye, and we're just going to talk about them one after the other, just espouse opinion, and at the end of it we're going to say whether or not we think it's a hit or a miss, or we've got a halfway option now. I forget what it's called, a hiss. So we should get on with
or
the first
a mit. In this winter weather, it should be a mit.
I think it probably should. Okay. So first off, the SSL, is it called the Big Six?
Yeah, it's called the Big Six, isn't it? Like the Fab Four, but the Big Six.
Because it's the bigger version of the original Six. So that was a high-quality notebook mixer. This is a bit more than that. This is getting on towards being at least some of a proper mixer. I don't know. I think I'll go to you first, Russ, actually, because you like the look of this, if I'm not wrong. So, yeah.
It probably came... Jules and I have been having a conversation back and forth for several weeks where I watched an extract from Mixer with the Masters video with Chris Lord-Alge mixing a couple of vocal tracks. And I just watched him fly across this SSL board, and I came away from it thinking that looks far more preferable than mousing around all day and stuff like that, and just having stuff set. And he had all his EQs and his effects set all the time, and it was just really fast and kind of really old school mixing style. And I think it's just really piqued my interest for thinking about getting a board in the studio. Where I can just plug stuff in and just turn knobs and they work. I don't have to arse around with software and all the other stuff, or some error pops up and things like that. So when this came out, I thought, this is really cool. And for the price, it's not a flipping 4000E from 1980. It's a 12-channel board that has pretty good stuff. So it's got comps on the input stages, and it's got a sort of a version of the G-Series bus comp on the output stage as well. So it's a kind of 12-channel mixer. It's got comps on the stuff. It's got E-Series EQ, but no sweepable mid. But it's like just over £2,000, for God's sake. I think it's really nice, and I'm really close to pushing the button on one. And I don't buy gear these days. So really, really close. Because so, it gets a hit from me. Because I think for £2,000 for what it's offering, and it's also you can do summing if you think that matters. I think so, the jury's out for me with summing. But I think, who knows? I just like the idea of just you can mix through it, of course, as well, because it's a USB audio interface as well, so you can record through it and mix through it. So kind of old school recording. And I don't know, perhaps it's my age, but I'm kind of pining for it. So it's a win for me.
What a new product launch should do, which is it's got you wanting it. Which
yeah, and I should know better, because that's what I make my living, making people want things. So, but they've done their job well, and I even watched I think that YouTube video should be no longer than 3 minutes long, and I watched an 18-minute video on this. So they've really done their work well. I watched an entire video by the guy who designed it about why they'd called it that and what it all did and what decisions they'd made. It's got lots of pluggability as well. There's tons of I/O on it. Yeah, I think it's great. Bill probably doesn't give a toss about these kind of things anymore. I don't know. I won't put words in his mouth, but you've played with enough boards
in
your life.
We should go there next, then, shouldn't we? So,
well, I mean, I probably have lots of thoughts about this, having never seen one in real life, just as a caveat. But, I mean, for one thing, when you say mix on it, I mean, it seems to me it's probably geared more towards a summing workflow, because it's not enough channels to mix what tends to be seriously large projects for everybody these days, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to do the Chris Lord-Alge thing where you just reach out and touch channel 37 and or leave channel 37 preset for your lead guitar or whatever. Also, three band EQ, okay, in a lot of cases that's fine. In some cases that's not, at least for me. But I have to say, just as a cautionary background, I'm not an SSL fan to begin with. Those are the desks I tend to try to avoid. Mm. So it's not like it's not calling out to me in anything like the way it's calling out to you.
I'm shocked by how much I'm impressed with it, actually. As Julian has, he'll probably hate me quoting this. He said to me recently, is that life is quite disappointing, really, isn't it?
There was some context around that.
Yeah, I know that. I think it was when I said that as I get older, I like less people and I'm impressed by less things. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of conversation. I'm sure Bill could join this conversation quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, none of us are wide-eyed teenagers.
Yeah, none of us are wide-eyed teenagers who just look at gear now like porn. But I don't know. I just arse around with interfaces and stuff all the time. And I like the idea of something like this just to get stuff down quick.
Well, in part, this is why, and it's not a commercial for, but part of why I like the Raven is if I want to reach out and touch an EQ, I can do that. It's not quite the same as knobbage, but it feels a bit more like that if I want it to feel like that, if that makes any sense. And at the same time, I'm looking at 24 faders on a screen as opposed to... Yeah.
Yeah, as I say, but for the money, I think it's good value. Yeah. And you can daisy chain them. So you can take the stereo output of one of them into the next one, and you've got 24 of channels or whatever. So I think it's going to sell.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so, especially because the SSL brand is worth a lot, especially to people who've never worked on one. But I'm wondering, so where do you see it fitting in your workflow then? As I said, you're not going to mix a whole project through it
subbing. Yeah, I don't think I would mix through it, to be honest, but I do think I would be tracking through it because I don't track big bands. A lot of the stuff is most of the time two or three tracks at a time, acoustic guitars, keyboards. There's like six stereo channels with EQ on them as well. So you could get quite a lot in there straight away. And I'm just thinking my Apogee interface most of the time, which is the Ensemble, which has been brilliant. I've always raved about it and still rave about it. But it's a bit overkill most of the time. It's got like 32 inputs, and most of the time I'm using three or four of them.
Sure.
And I just like the idea of just doing a bit of tweaking as it's going on the way in. I've also got like an alpha channel, for example. That's one channel of an SSL strip. Right. And that's like £1,000.
Right.
So I think this having – I remember Vance Powell saying a few years ago that if you want zero latency monitoring, then get a board. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. But then again, you have the alpha channel. You're clearly happy with an SSL mic pre and EQ and that as your way in. It's not for me, but for a lot of people, that would be very appealing at this price point.
Yeah. And I say it's also got, so you can sum through it afterwards and use the G series compressor, mix bus compressor. So
yeah, seems to me that's a big part of the market they're aiming for. Is that summing? Just looking at it, that's what it seems set up to do for me.
Yeah, it's a good summing box, definitely.
I'm not sure we've mentioned yet the thing that for me I think is probably the thing that had appealed to me most, which is that I haven't checked this out in as much detail as I did the original six. Because I've got a little notepad mixer somewhere. Actually, I can see it from over here, and it's dreadful. I mean, it's a cheap and nasty little notepad mixer which I've had for donkey's years, but I keep around because sometimes that's just a real little problem solver that can get you around stuff that would be a nightmare to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. But the audio quality does put me off because it's not great. It's really not great. I acquired it. I don't know where I picked it up. I certainly didn't buy it, and I've just never quite thrown it away because it's useful to have around. Something with some quality behind it, fantastic. But checking out the six, I was... Not seriously, but I was just imagining, would that be useful to me? And I was looking at it as an alternative to buying a monitor controller, because it's a tidy little monitor controller with some input strapped onto it as well.
Yeah.
I think I could do everything. This would be too big for me. I wouldn't need it. But just a way so you can keep your keyboards plugged in to your monitors the whole time, and you can run them without turning your computer on. You've got a channel there for VO, for all that stuff, and you can do, and you've got proper monitor control, and you've got a way to be able to plumb in some hardware. I've still got like
a talk back on it and a talk back mic, and you can actually do the
Phil Collins. Yeah, if there's anyone here, I might use it.
Well, you can also do the Phil Collins Peter Gabriel trick on the talk back mics, because you can route it back through the bus compressor. Mm.
That was clever. That was clever that they did that.
But yeah. all of this stuff, it's kind of like when you get something that's properly properly designed like these are, they're so much more flexible than they first appear. You dig away at them and you find you can actually route this to that and da-da-da. And, you know, hopefully you won't have to actually rewire the board like they did to do the Phil Collins thing. But they probably anticipated that this time.
And the thing that actually, as an aside, a bit of a Christmas little giveaway here, that the only reason that trick worked was there were no cymbals on the track. It doesn't work when you've got cymbals on the track and they recorded just the shells through that trick, and that's how they got the sound. Did that sound just like the album then? I think it did, didn't it?
Oh, what, that wasn't the album? Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I know, I thought I'd trick you. But there is one thing that really pissed me off, Facebook the minute somebody comments, that this came out about 5 minutes later, somebody said, I really hate the way that SSL are sort of making all these versions and trading on their name. And I said, well, they're running a business, not a museum. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They've got to make things for the future, and this is the future. This is smaller footprint products that work in smaller studios and home studios. They are still making the big boards as well, but this just opens up SSL to a load of new people.
Yeah, that's reminiscent a little. That attitude is reminiscent a bit of the people who don't. You know, I'm always arguing for one version of Pro Tools, and they're the people who say, but I spent all this money on Ultimate, and why should the native people get that stuff? This is like, well, you know, why should SSL be accessible? It needs to be an elite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, why can't we still be in this posh club?
Yeah, exactly.
That only rich people who've borrowed money, lots of money, or are in serious debt can belong to. Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah, so it's a hit from me.
Okay, I was going to say, I think we know where you are with that. William?
It's not for me, but I think it's a very clever product that will be a hit. It's a hit for somebody.
I suppose I get to say too. I don't know if I'd go as far as it. I'd say, for me, if we're talking about something that fits and conceivably I might actually buy and use, the original 6 is a much better fit for me than this is. So I'd say fine, but actually just shrink it back down to the size it was and it'd be perfect, because this is bigger for me isn't a draw. So in that case, a miss.
Is it a hiss or a mitt?
I think it's just a miss, because I wouldn't buy this one, but I did consider buying the original one. But that's just because they brought that one out first and people went, oh, could you make a bigger one? Well, I wasn't one of those people.
Right.
So, okay, let's move on to the next one. I think this next one is probably the thing that's caused more noise than anything else, really. I don't remember a plugin launching to quite
as much.
So
you're not talking about RX then, are you?
I was just about to say to quite as much noise, so yeah, there we are. Eventide Split EQ. I don't really mind who goes first on this. I should probably direct the question at a person. So I'll do it the other way around. William,
I think it's like most or all Eventide stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. It first of all does something that very few, if any, other equalizers attempt to do, splitting the transient portion of your signal from the what they call the tonal or later portion of the signal, and that you can treat them differently. That is absolutely brilliant. But even leaving that, all that under the hood cleverness aside, it's just an exceptional EQ. I mean, that if you're working on your stereo bus or in a mastering situation where really critical, excellent EQ is required, it is just an incredible sounding EQ, even without all the bells and whistles.
Well, that's unequivocal. Yeah. I think I know way you're going on this. Russ, what do you think? What do you think of Split EQ?
I'm probably flipping this time, so I'm going to do the Bill thing this time. I think that for some people, this is going to be absolutely brilliant. Sometimes I wonder if people make products looking for a problem to solve that people didn't have already. And so I've seen the videos. I saw Luke kind of say, does it live up to the claims? And it does. I think is it one of those things? Probably it's a bit like when the iPhone came out. It was suddenly things I didn't think I needed, but then I did need. So
that's right.
it's one of those moments, I'm guessing.
But so don't, you know,
I,
but
until
that,
it came out, I didn't think, oh, I'd like to split the tonal and the transient and then fix it
right.
like that.
Exactly. But that's true. I mean, that's sort of the way Tony Aniello thinks anyway. When the harmonizer came out, it wasn't like people were saying, I wish I had a digital box that would pitch shift. It's like all of a sudden it was like, wow, I could do this, I could do that, and look at what so-and-so did that I would never have thought of. I think this is one of those products that's over the course of the next year or so, we're going to see all the ways, discover all the ways that it's really useful. I mean, I've already used it to do some kind of strange little tweaks, like just brightening the transient on something without the tonal portion. But I have a feeling that it's a live with it and discover what it does later kind of plug-in. But that's true about a lot of Eventide stuff, I find.
So you could effectively make a crack on a snare, but then the rattle bit afterwards could not, could be a lesser boost of that situation.
Something correct. Like that, that's right. Or want to make the body part of it brighter without affecting the transient part, or darker without affecting the transient hit. I mean, it has a lot of potential uses.
Or pull down the pick sound on an acoustic guitar without
definitely,
ruining
that.
I think that this is it. Listen, I've looked at the price. It would be a remarkable EQ on its own without doing that clever trick.
Yeah, exactly.
So as built 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bands, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was just trying to think so. 8 band. It's 8 band, actually. Julian, does it do anything different than the Fab Filter? Fab Filter doesn't do transient internal, does it?
Not yet, kind of... but give it time.
you make it sound like a mushroom.
Well, no, the only thing I've seen that does something like this is Harrison do, I forget which one it was. It was one of their Shaper plugins. I used it. I think it might have been Drum Shaper, because I used it, I demonstrated it by EQing the ring of a tom separately from the hit. Some sounds have got very distinctive. I tell a lie. That was time based. That was attack versus
quantum.
Tail.
Does this from Wavestack?
But it didn't do it based on whether or not it was periodic or noise based, which is what this does. Yeah. So actually,
quantum can do this. Yeah.
That's right. I was going to say the Wavefactory Quantum is about the only other thing I can think of that does do this sort of body versus transient shifting thing, and that's more in the effects realm, but yeah, of course does EQ. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I've just been looking at it in a bit more detail. There's a couple of things that I wasn't aware of before. You can actually mess with the transient detection, can't you? So you can tell it how much to affect before you even do the trick, so you can affect the separation and the decay and the smoothness of that. I like the idea that they've added a pre and post analyzer, because the EQ in Logic has an analyzer which can be quite handy sometimes, just to show you whereabouts and on the whole spectrum you've got to, you can play with things. It's because, you know, sometimes you move, if you don't know what you're doing, you're moving EQ and you're just boosting nothing, especially at the bottom end, you're boosting fresh air.
Yeah, I've watched students try winding in big HF boosts on sine basses.
Yeah, trying to put 14k on a vocal that stopped about 10.
Yeah.
But it does pre and post on this, so it shows you on the analyzer what's happening on both sides of the effect, which I think is quite useful.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say in general is that anything Eventide makes is going to be made really well.
And they're in your hometown, aren't they, Bill?
More or less, yeah. Well, hometown.
Are they Jersey or New York? Are they Jersey?
I think he's in New Jersey now. I mean, they used to be right in Midtown. They were upstairs at a recording studio in Midtown, but not for a long time.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... We'll do the rounds. And in that case, for me, I'm going to tentatively give it a hit, although I haven't tried it. I think it's a cool thing that more people are going to turn there. I think this is going to become a standard feature, like EQ Match did, or Dynamic EQ, or all of these things. I think they're just kind of trailblazers on this one. But what do you think? William, you first.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a hit. And I agree with you that I think this kind of technology is going to seep into more and more products.
Russ?
Actually, I'm going to give it a hit. It was a miss at the start, but actually having talked it round the table, I actually can see the value of it. And for the price, at the moment, when's that $99 thing up? Is it up already? It says an introductory price, but even at $179, it's a good price, dollars. Because $99 is nothing.
Achoria has a wide selection of software effects, including 3 compressors, 3 filters, 3 preamps, and 3 delays you'll actually use. the latest release, three delays you'll actually use, includes Delay Tape 201, Delay Memory Brigade, and the unique and experimental Delay Eternity. A bundle of selected effects, called the AudioFuse Creative Suite, is included with all AudioFuse audio interfaces. Visit Auchoria.com to find out more on the effects you'll actually use.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Waves released, just after Black Friday, released Retro Fi FX, which was...
Retro FX, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Retro Fi.
Yes. But anyway, so this kind of like lo-fi box with some sort of trashy reverb and other things that you can do with a distinctive kind of cartoony UI style, which is quite original as well. Sort of looks like it's jumped out of a graphic novel. Russ, we'll start with you.
It's not for me, but I've watched the video. I've seen a couple of rap guys using it and I can see how much they love it. I think it's going to be hugely popular. It's aimed at the MPC brigade and the sampling people and all that kind of stuff. And it's a kind of one box wonder for all those kind of things that they like putting on tracks, like noise and crappy sounding echoes and reverbs. So give stuff some, it's a character box basically, isn't it? That's the truth of it. And I spent most of my life in recording in the early days trying to remove all of that character. And now it seems that everybody wants to put it back in again. So... I can see for the target audience it's made at. It's not a mainstream product, I don't think. But then again, I think R&B and hip hop are making more money than any other genre these days. So I can see that it's going to be a very popular product.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to very boringly agree with all of that. Slate also came out with a not exactly the same, but a similar kind of let's sort of screw up the sound plugin recently, and it's clearly aimed at a genre that I'm not particularly involved or invested in. I could see how this every once in a while, it's like wanted just for giggles, make a guitar sound really strange or really screwed up. I might try this, but I can't say in my everyday workflow that as what Russ said, I'm invested in trying to make things sound as good as I can, not try to make them sound like they're recorded badly. There's that. On the other hand, I think for $29, which or $30, which it currently is, I guess it's a hit for the market it's aimed at $199 list, I think it's ridiculous.
But let's be honest, when was a waste? Well,
right,
last
it's
at
probably
least?
Never going to be, but
No, there is that.
Julian, are you an old fart like the two of us too?
No, I'm not going to do that. Actually, I think what it does is it brings together some stuff. The thing that I'm kind of struggling with slightly is the space part, which does the reverbs. It does spring and plate reverbs, and presumably with an awful lot of colour on them, which seems like a slightly strange kind of fit. It strikes me as it doesn't necessarily belong in this plugin, because the device bit with the timeline thing, I mean, this I've seen this before. It's a nice idea. You can dial in a decade and take it from there. The mechanical stuff, I mean, Isotope Vinyl, and do you remember Cubase Donkeys years ago used to have a kind of like backwards in time thing that kind of you could set your you could do stuff by decades as well. And the noise with basically tape, wow, and flutter. All of this stuff. And actually having filters, being able to kind of like, you know, thin stuff out and dial down the top end and everything. It's all based around making stuff sound old. So if you work in a genre where there's kudos attached to and a kind of like a charm attached to kind of... bargain bin finds in the record shop and dusty old loops from grandmother's record collection, then fantastic. You know, I mean, absolutely. And being able to reverse engineer that totally makes sense. Is it new? No, not at all. If it does it better than stuff before, because I mean, certainly things that I've played with in the past that have done this like a long time ago have been kind of very much one trick ponies and have left you to bring stuff together. But yeah, what it does is cool. I bet it does it well. I find it having a spring reverb built into it weird. Using it for.
I think part of what it does is, you're right, all these things are available, but it puts it all together in one interesting interface.
And the difficult bit actually is the tape stuff, is the wow and flutter and stuff. Getting that, I think that's hard to do well. because, you know, you don't want it to just sound like you've put chorus on it. You know, I mean, modulation's a difficult thing. And the whole thing about WoW and Flutter is that it's, I mean, certainly to us, it's very distinctive indeed. We know what it sounds like. And what I quite like to see, and I don't know if it can really do it, but I mean, a proper stretched tape, not WoW, but like,
you know,
when you've got a really, really mullered cassette that's bent right out of shape, which I associate actually with old broadcast tapes. You know, there were some theme tunes on programs and stuff where the tape speed stuff was just all over the place, but clearly it was like, you know, the version that they were using. And it, yeah, oh, I'm trying to think of a good example. I'm sure I'll come up with one. I'm sure there was some sort of like kung fu stuff from the 70s and things that had the most appalling stretch tape, and it's you really recognise that sound. It really speaks to a particular period, but retrospectively, because that didn't sound like that when that tape was new.
One hopes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting that I mean, I do use some of the Waves tape simulation plugins, the J37 in particular, I'm a fan of a lot of the times. But the first thing I do is shut off all the WoW and Flutter. It's like if I heard that when I was recording on tape, I would immediately call the maintenance people in to fix it. It would not be a desirable aspect.
Yeah. Have you got a pinch roll of this slightly more knackered, please? Because, you know, this one's grabbing the tape a bit too well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do it. So in that case, hits and misses. William. Hit or miss?
Well, again, it's a hit for somebody, but it's clearly a miss.
Well, it's not a hit for you. Fair enough. Russ? Mike? Where did that come from?
he's still here, but he's not in the room tonight. No, I understand why they've done it. It's the tractor of plugins, that farmers use tractors, but I never would. And in this case, I would never use this, so it's not for me. But it's a hit for somebody. I'm with Bill.
Just the fact that it looks a bit like part of Optimus Prime, I think it's cool. Basically, I like the UI. It's doing something new with UI design. So I'll give it a hit. Actually, yeah, fair enough. Why not? But I still think having a spring reverb in it's weird. Should we move on to the next one? What's the next one? The next one is the Antelope Axino Synergy Core. So this is this very affordable modelling microphone, which is USB only and has models of all the kind of usual suspects. I believe it is single diaphragm. It'd have to be for that price. We ran some stuff on it. Luke did a very nice little video demonstrating it. And, what do we think? Have we seen it? Why does this exist? It's different from what everyone else has done with this technology. So is that a good idea? And if it is, has they done a good job with that good or otherwise idea? William.
Well, I haven't heard it. So, I mean, I'm fishing blind a bit. But, I mean, I am a fan of Antelope in general. I think they do really good work. And I think all their FPGA effects that they do with their interfaces sound really good. My confidence is moderately high that they've done a good job here. The one thing I will say is it's the pure USB aspect of it that would put me off it in terms of a professional workflow. I'm a little disappointed it doesn't also offer some sort of XLR option. But I'll bet it sounds really good. Mm. I mean, the one thing I will say, you say it's a good price. I mean, at the moment, the Slate modeling microphone on sale is in that same ballpark area. So it does have some competition, at least in the Christmas season. But,
Is it? I thought the Slate was about a grand.
Yeah, but it's on sale for $399 or $499 at the moment. Maybe $499.
Wow, that is cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That is a good but the point is, again, there are some people out there, podcasters, people.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of conversations at the moment. I worked with a rapper on a project a few months ago. Great rapper, really talented guy. He hadn't got a clue about gear, about plugins, about nothing. He just went into a studio and someone else did it for him. And there's a ton of people out there who are talented who just don't want to know about how to plug an XLR and who don't want to do that kind of stuff. So I think in some cases that for those kind of people, the simpler the route, the better. And I had an argument with somebody who went, oh, if it's not hard, then it can't be, they should learn this stuff properly. And I'm thinking, what are you going to stop using Google Maps then? You're going to start walking everywhere. Do you know what I mean? If somebody's made something we're having a similar conversation about a lot of stuff tonight, aren't we really? That stuff's being made now that is just makes the process simpler for people.
Yeah.
And I think if you haven't got to mess around with the Slate one or the Townsend Labs one, then I think it's going to work. My only concern with it was when I heard the demos, I couldn't hear much difference between any of the mics.
Really?
When I heard, if you go and listen to our...
But do you mean over YouTube or did you download files?
Over YouTube. So yeah. I should be. I'm an idiot for really saying that, aren't I?
We all do that. But you know, to be fair, it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. But I think it's a good product. It's how much is it?
£399, I think. Dollars.
It's like idiot-proof mic modeling, isn't it?
I think
no, because nothing is. There's always a better idiot.
Well, no, yeah, they'll just make a better idiot, as we know.
Yeah.
Take a vaccine, for example.
That is very interesting. What you just said, Russ, about because William, exactly what I was going to say about why doesn't it have an XLR as well? Couldn't you just run to that? Because it's cool that it's got the processing built in, and it's not just mic modeling. I mean, it does some sort of like some compression and things as well, and you know, presumably there's presets and things that you can instantiate. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but having that, but having it locked away from, you know, somebody who's already established in doing this is gear by dint of only having a USB available seems like an odd choice. But
yeah,
Russ, when you mentioned rappers, I thought, actually, you're right, because I'd thought about podcasters and I thought, I'm not sure I've ever met a podcaster who would give a damn about kind of like, I'm using a U47 model. But
yeah, but singers, lots of singer-songwriters at home, you just put their guitar in front of it and think, I'm now playing through a C414, although or a C12 or things like that. Mm. They've suddenly got access to these great mics for not a lot of money and not a lot of messing around. And plus, it's got all the technology in it. So you get zero latency monitoring off the mic as well,
don't
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got a very similar kind of thing that doesn't do any modelling from some work I did a long time ago. And I've got this, you know, pretty inexpensive USB mic with headphone built in. And it's a cool way of doing it for someone who doesn't already have gear. Singer-songwriter, fair enough. I mean, I think that's probably more kind of like your dual-channel kind of Focusrite market. But I've done loads of stuff with rappers who turn up, and they've just got a beat. They've got a beat. Yeah. Someone's made something for them, or they made it themselves in Logic. They've got one channel that's got to happen. That's it. If they can monitor through it. But the fact you've got that, you've got some nice sounding models to play with. An awful lot of rappers that I've worked with, they might not know a great deal about the tech side of things. Some of them are very knowledgeable indeed, but some of the ones I'm thinking of aren't. But they immediately gravitate towards the one Valve microphone that we had available, and they really liked what it did to the sound, recognised it. They've got a Sony C800G in there. If that isn't kind of like talking to that audience, I'm not sure what is. You know, it's like, it's that one, you know. So,
well, that's a £3,000 mic of its own, isn't it?
It's, I think it's more than that, isn't it? But anyway, regardless, it's kind of like you said that word, you know, rapper. I thought, someone, you know, vocals with a beat, absolutely makes perfect sense to me. That's a really good move. Hit and miss, I suppose. Antelope Axino Synergy Core, William?
If it had an XLR, it would be a clear hit for me. Otherwise, it's a miss for me, but I totally see from what you guys are saying who it's aimed at, and that makes total sense.
Gotcha. Russ?
For the market it's aimed at, I think it's a hit.
Yeah.
I was going to be miss until you mentioned rappers, and I went, I think they'll clean up on that.
The Production Expert Podcast is made possible using Source Connect Now from Source Elements, the free way to record high-quality audio over the internet. Need to record an interview or a podcast like this one remotely? With Source Connect Now, you can. Using a Chrome browser, you'll get ISDN equivalent quality audio without the need to install any additional software. Register for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
So, UVI Falcon 2.5. This was the version 2 was available, has been available to anyone with an active Pro Tools subscription. So, yeah, where are we? 2.5 brings some extra features. We'll leave it at that. But having kind of like, I mean, it's a criticism that's levelled at Pro Tools occasionally, that it's not as well catered for example, Logic or something like that, that's got all singing, all dancing, loads and loads and loads of instruments. They've done this partnership with UVI to address that. It is very much an all singing, all dancing instrument. Do any of us use it?
I use it a bit. I mean, it's not my first go-to choice for synth because it's complicated, for one thing, unless you just fan through the presets and find something. But it does sound great, and it comes with a ton of presets, and I've downloaded 2.5 but haven't played with it yet. But I take it has, according to the website, 100 new factory presets. That's a lot. So, I mean, I think it's a great value as a product, especially for free. But, I mean, it is a very well-made product.
Russ, you like your synthesizers?
I do, and I have to say, I did download it this time because of all the extra stuff, and I've had a play around with it, and it has, Bill's right, it's got some fantastic sounds on it. It's leaning a little towards the dance world, if I'm really honest with you.
Well, that's mostly the presets, though, right?
Yeah, the presets, yeah. But like you, Bill, I was trying to figure out how, and I know my onions, this is how I started working in this industry, so I'm not afraid to program a synth, but it is pretty deep to try and get anywhere.
Yeah.
So, but what I will say, having played with it a bit, of all the free synths that come with DAWs, such as Logic and Studio One and Cubase and that, this is perhaps the most powerful one you can get. If you've got time to invest in it, and some people probably out the gate can really love it and use it, but I have to say, kudos to Avid for getting a deal with the guys over at UVI to include this with Pro Tools, because it shouldn't be ignored. It's a really, as a replacement for Expand, or as an addition to Expand, which is the Rompler, I think it has some real value, and it's a real powerhouse, but it's really deep. So it was just like trying to find ADSRs and stuff like that. It was a real struggle.
It's intimidating the first time you go in, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as I say, I'm no spring chicken when it comes to programming synth. So I was thinking, bloody hell, how do people work this thing?
Effectively, it's Pro Tools Alchemy, because, I mean, Logic did something very similar with Alchemy, which is another kind of disorientatingly enormous synthesizer. I haven't tried version 2.5. I spent quite a bit of time with version 2. All of the things you just said, I totally agree with. It's just kind of like there's too much there for me. It's lovely. I wish it was... I wish it was quicker and easier to get going with, just because it kind of ultimately discouraged me from going back. I kind of had a bit of a wave of initial enthusiasm and haven't been back in a very long time. Looking at what's new, I noticed that one of the new things is something called a TS Overdrive, which has got to be a Tube Screamer. So that is literally everywhere. It's extraordinary how many green looking distortion pedal plugins that seem to be literally everywhere. The other ones are what they're referring to as an MS-VCF, which is surely has got to be the filter from the MS-20. That sounds like a lot of
fun. Or is it mid-side?
I see what you mean. Yeah, no.
But that's where I would have gone in my head.
MS-20 is a screamy thing, largely used to that filter. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot of fun to be had. I mean, yeah, maybe if only I had a period where I had nothing to do apart from spend time watching films I don't want to watch and spending time with my family. I mean, you know, there's always a laptop and some headphones. Is that a bit curmudgeonly of me? I think we should move swiftly on. I mean, it's unlikely my mother will listen to this, but you never know. What do we think? Hit or miss?
On the whole, I think it's a hit. I mean, it takes some investment of time, but it does sound great.
Can't disagree with that, Russ.
I think it's a hit, but Avid should work with UVI to build like 500 great bread and butter patches that you can get to straight away. There is kind of an Avid library, but it's still not that much different from all the other stuff that's on there. There's just too many ARPy things on there for me. it's a hit. It's free, for God's sake. So only an idiot would say miss. Do you know what I mean?
It's free if you have an active subscription.
Well, you get what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
If you own Pro Tools, you can use it.
Okay, on to the next one. IK Multimedia Tascam Tape Collection. I don't think this will take long, really. It's some tape emulation plugins, and they do some stuff that isn't just, you know, studios and things. So, we had a nice piece from Luke on this. And, what do we think? William, tape.
This is another one that I think is just not for me. I mean, I have and use, I already mentioned, I use some tape emulation, and I sort of, the higher end it is, the higher end it's aiming for, the more likely I am to use it. I'm not looking for some sort of retro aspect from tape emulation. So I'm never going to want it to sound like a Grundig. You know, I'm aiming for an A800 most of the time. So, again, I can see how this is for somebody, but I'm not convinced it's for me.
Huh. Okay, fair enough. Russ, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the scraping the barrel of plugin development, personally. I think IK Multimedia does lots of great stuff, but yeah, to be honest, anybody who was back there using this stuff hated to have to struggle to get good sounds out of these things. We all worked really hard to get the best we could out of Porter Studios, out of 3440s, all that kind of stuff. If you were there when this was happening in the original days of all these gear, and then somebody told you that one day you'd be given like infinite tracks and zero noise and everything would be just so much easier, but you could then revert back to what you were using now, you just say, don't be an idiot. That's how I feel about this. So I say it's cute. It's, you know what I mean? But nah, it I don't know. It's the Wookiee slippers of products. It's cute and funny and it will give somebody a warm fuzzy feeling, but generally no.
I don't think it's for people who were there first time around.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's
I know
exactly.
It's not there for those who are the first time around, but if you were there first time around, you wouldn't want to use it now.
I think this is for people who think that the 1980s were full of people driving around in Sinclair C5s and,
as I say, we've got an article called Born After 2000, Music Technologies You Missed, coming up soon, and we don't... At the time, they're all wow moments for us. But looking back now, they were bloody hard to use and made life difficult. And I'm just going to be a Scrooge on this one.
But it's also one thing to say, I love the sound I got recording on an A800, and if only I could get that sound in the box.
That's different, that's Bill. Different. This is Porter Studios.
Exactly. That's different than how do I make it sound like the kind of tape nobody ever liked.
Yeah.
What I'll say is that this is not coming out of nowhere. I mean, I've seen in the last, I don't know, couple of years or so,
Waves Factory do a cassette one.
That's not the only one.
It's very popular.
And people like that. And I think partly what it is, I mean, apart from the fact that cassettes do have a cachet, this is appropriating retrospectively and all the rest of it. And it's, whatever. But what I will say about it is that it's tape that you can hear. And I think that might be part of the appeal, just because, you know, I mean, as...
Yeah, listen, there's Ford Cortina owners clubs. There are, do you know what I mean? There are people who... Somebody will buy it and somebody will love it. But as I say, I was there for all of this stuff and I don't want to go back there.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't want a button in my Tesla that makes it behave like a Cortina.
Exactly. That's the whole point. I've just bought a VW electric car. I don't want to start having smoke pouring out the back. Yeah. To remind me of the good old days of diesel.
Yeah. You have selected Ford Anglia.
Yeah.
You've selected shit mode.
Okay. Yeah. What shall I even bother asking? William, hit or miss?
Clearly a miss.
Okay. Russ?
Miss.
And it's a miss from me as well. It's not something I want. Fab Filter, Volcano 3. Filtering, Fab Filter revamp of the previous version of Volcano. It does what it describes, but I mean, have we checked that out? And if so, have we got any thoughts? William, are you?
Yeah, you can safely assume anything that Fab Filter does is going to be very well done. It sounds really great, it's very flexible. I can't say that I immediately said, wow, this is a big step up from version 2, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere if I dug into it. This kind of filtering with sweeps and modulations is not something that I do all the time, but when you want something like that, this is a brilliant implementation of it. I think it's great.
Mm. Russ?
It's brilliant. I watched Dan Worrell's video. I think they must think to themselves, let's just get Dan Worrell out and everybody will buy it, because Dan Worrell's just brilliant. He makes everything look great, doesn't he?
It's just a kind of hypnosis.
It is a hypnosis, and you think, wow, what is this voodoo?
Yeah.
And so, because he's just brilliant at showing things off. And so I watched the video and enjoyed the video, but to be honest, filters for me most of the time. Yes, I'll use them now and again in a production trick, but generally, I'll use filters just as like old Bixin desk filters, just to clean things up. So
static, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would. He had these things driving different parts of the filter, and for the dance boys, they're going to love it.
Mm.
Perfect for them. You can do really clever production tricks with this. So I can imagine it all over. Most modern production would love this stuff.
I'm just thinking that they should have just like not worried about developing a new version of Volcano and just got Dan Worrell to do a hypnotic "I want to buy this thing" video about how to operate the FabFilter online store, and they could just have ordered their yachts, really. I mean, I'm being facetious. I'm going to say, yeah, great. I mean, a really good sounding filter is an underrated and wonderful thing, just because a really good sounding filter just sounds awesome, you know. And you're right about the dance people, because I mean, if anyone's going to make it extend out a filter sweep over, you know, 64 bars of you know, various sweet spots of getting it exactly right and really exploiting the good things about it, it's some of those guys. So, you know, there we are. Should we do the hits and misses?
Sure. Okay. I mean, I will say, you know, along the won't get fooled again sort of lines, I will sometimes process something unexpected, a piano or an organ or a guitar, through a moving filter like that. And you want something that does it well, and this does it well. As Russ said, it's not something I'm going to do all the time, but, you know, once a year, it's great.
Okay.
It does what it says on the tin, so I think it's a hit.
Okay, fair enough. Russ?
I think it's blasphemy to say anything bad against FabFilter. Yeah. I think it's almost worse than saying things against the Pope. So I'm gonna say a hit for fear of having a death contract taken out on me. No, I think it's a great product, but I wouldn't use it. It's a lot of the conversations we're having tonight are about that we wouldn't use these things, and perhaps we have to keep caveating everything we say with that. It's a brilliant product. Of course, it's brilliant. It's FabFilter. It's like FabFilter don't do anything by halves, do they? They literally, if you ask them to make a car, they build you a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if FabFilter did it, it would look like a car until you started going, oh, actually, I want this to be a bit more like a rocket, and all of these different bits would suddenly reveal themselves to you. That's the thing that makes the FabFilter stuff great.
Yeah, and I would use this just, you know, once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got one hit, and we've got another hit there from me. Yeah,
a hit from me. You can't not say hit, can you?
No. From me, yeah, of course it's a hit. It's great. It does some stuff that I don't need, but so do lots of things. I don't think that's really a criticism. If anything, it's an admission of inadequacy. Let's get on to the last one. Waves SSL EV2. We've kind of gone full circle. We're back with SSL, but wearing Waves clothes now. So Waves SSL EV2. So this is a new E-series channel strip plugin. William, I mean, dyed in the wool confirmed SSL fanboy as you are, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll say a couple of things about this. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't see why I'm excited about it when essentially it sounds almost exactly the same or exactly the same as the CLA Mix Hub version that SSL already has out, but that also offers that very useful bucket view of EQs in a row, or compressors in a row. So I'm not sure exactly why one needs this particular version of it.
Fair enough.
Don't you think it's a bit like the iPhone 12 and 13 and 10? Do you know what I mean? It's just iterations each time, and most of them are the same.
But they're getting better, even if very subtly better. I mean, the camera's a bit better or the memory's a bit more or whatever it is. In this case, I'm not convinced this is different than...
But you're not keen on an SSL anyway, you told us.
No, but again, let's not pretend that the plugin sounds like an SSL. I mean, it's just either useful or it's not. And I do think...
Well,
I do
in the shootouts, to be fair, it did fool most people.
Yeah.
When we put it up against a real board. Because we did a real board shootout with
that's
it.
That's a really tricky thing to do. It's like, how does it feel when you're sitting in front of it and touching it?
Oh, we are back to my original conversation for tonight then, aren't we?
Well, but I mean, sonically too, eyes closed, does it do the same thing? I'm not convinced. But I mean, I do think that CLA mix-up thing is useful. I'm not opposed to an SSL type EQ in the box. I just am not convinced that this offers something that Waves didn't already have, not to mention that there are myriad other manufacturers making versions of the same thing.
The good news is I got it free. I logged into my account and it updated it for free, so I can't really complain at that, can I?
Ah, right. Because you had the SSL bundle?
I have the SSL bundle and it was already paid for and up to date, so when I logged in, they said you get this one for free, which was nice. So you can't complain at that.
It occurs to me
it was worth every penny.
I don't want my money back.
It occurs to me that what you were just saying about, you know, the number of SSL channel strip plugins out there.
Yeah.
While you might say, God, like we need another one or something. Well, you know, I mean, if we'd said that after the first one, then, you know, we wouldn't have got all the better ones since. And, you know, these things do move on. But apart from anything else, if people weren't buying them, they wouldn't be making them. So, you know, clearly they're popular. So, you know, all power to them, really. I don't know what's different about this, but how different can something be that's emulating something that is fixed and exists in history, you know? So you can't say, hey, we've decided to add, you know, 12 channels of EQ, and it's kind of, well,
yeah, but for example, I think the CLA MixHub version, is that's the right name, right? But I think that version is miles better sounding than the Waves original SSL E-channel or G-channels sounded. But I don't think this is another jump like that. To me, they sound the same. Mm. So,
oh, well.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, hits and misses. William, hit or miss?
That's mitts for
mitts.
Me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Russ?
I got it free. It's a hit.
Okay. I didn't get it at all. So for me, it's a meh. It's a, I don't really care actually, because I've already got an SSL. I've got a few SSL channels. I don't really feel like I need another. But
yeah,
that's
kind of
slightly silly because this might be amazing, but no one said it is. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, I do think they're pandering. That's too loaded a word. They're aiming for that feeling of missing out in their audience that, like, oh, there's a new one. I've got to have it. Mm. And it's like, I've yet to see.
Well, I saw somebody that said that they got all three. They got this one, and they'd got the. Who's the company that bring your computers to your knees when they use the plugin?
Acoustica.
Yeah,
and they got Plugin Alliance's Brainworks one as well, and they said, I want all of these different flavors. I thought, give me a break, you can't hear the difference between any of them if you close your eyes.
Yeah,
if I gave you a blind shootout, I bet you couldn't. Mm.
That's the point,
even
really
if
is.
You could go ahead, Julian.
I'm just saying, kind of like I sounded negative about this particular one, and I'm sure it's every bit as good as the others, but that's my point. It's just I've already got some of the others, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you can hear the slight difference between them, so what? Pick one and make a record. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is my point.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our list. I mean, it was kind of looked like a short list, but we got an embarrassing.
We've done an hour's
long.
Worth.
Yeah,
on
we
it.
Really
yeah,
have.
We're just about there. 59 minutes on my
well,
timer.
Well, you know, so, there we are. Some, there's it won't be quite as long as that post edit because there was a couple of things at the beginning that all kind of like, you know, were ramping up, shall we say?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk finds of the week because we've all got them and that's what we do at the end of every podcast. So let's talk find of the week.
RSPE Audio Solutions design, sell, and install professional audio and video equipment. Their team are available by phone, live chat, or email to receive and process orders. They have everything you need to build or upgrade your home studio to ensure you can continue to work from home. If there is anything they can do to help, reach out or shop online at rspeaudio.com.
So, William, what is your find of the week?
My find of the week is a book by my old friend Dave Hewitt, who ran the Record Plant Remote truck way back when I was working at the record plant all the time in New York, and has just been around the early days and the really the birth of high quality remote recording, and so has worked with pretty much everybody, and wrote this really fun book talking about his life on the road recording and the adventures along the way. A lot of people might also be aware of Dave's son, Ryan Hewitt, who is very happening producer engineer at the moment. It's just a fun read. I mean, I obviously know so many of the people involved, so it's different for me. But even if you don't, I think anybody involved in recording would enjoy this book.
That looks like a nice book.
It does look like it's a hardback as well. You can't go wrong with a hardback. Yes,
Russ, what's your find of the week?
Mine is a TV show. It's on streaming services. It's on Sky in the UK. I'm not sure what it's on. I think it is international because I've seen American friends talking about it. It's Succession. I think it's in season three now.
Season three just wrapped.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, Bill, but it's just utterly brilliant. It's supposed to be a comedy, but it's so on the edge of being a comedy.
Yeah.
And just it's just very, very dark humour. It's basically a show about a family that run a kind of Fox News network.
More than basically.
Or Rupert Murdoch. It's like it's basically the Murdoch family. Yeah, and it's just utterly... you're looking through your hands at times. The kind of golden son who then goes awry, I won't do any plot spoilers, but goes awry during the whole journey of this family. Season three in particular, you are absolutely just biting your fingernails. I've seen what an absolute dick he is. But it's just utterly brilliant television. I think it's won lots of awards already, but it's a brilliant show.
Yeah, I believe HBO in the US, and it is incredible. And I also very much enjoy... A British actor and an Australian actress doing pretty good American accents.
Well, the Australia is the daughter, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah.
And her husband is the Englishman.
Yeah, that's right. He was in Ripper Street, the husband. And the dad, of course, is...
was a Scot, yeah?
It's a Scot. Yeah. So it's a great, great show. Well worth watching, but hold on to your hat. It's a real tour de force. But, Julian, what about you?
Mine really is a bit of a find and very, very timely. It's Hark, an album by a band called Fab Four, who are unsurprisingly a Beatles tribute act. And this is genius. This really is. So if you're not looking forward to hearing Slade and Mariah at Christmas, get onto this. It's fantastic. It's traditional Christmas songs done not just in the style of the Beatles, but with specific pastiche versions of specific Beatles songs.
Oh,
and
great.
It's absolutely, it's so well done. The sounds are right, the arrangements are right, everything's right. So, for example, it opens with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, done in the style of She Was Just 17. It's got a version of Silent Night that's ripping off Norwegian Wood. It's got one that's like With Him, Without. It covers the whole gamut, and the quality is
brilliant.
Awesome. So yeah, check it out. That's my find of the
week. Plenty of tea in the studio, I hope.
It's definitely one that's going to come out over the next couple of weeks because
I was thinking this is the perfect perfect Christmas gift for your Beatles fanatic friend.
Definitely. You have to hit.
Don't
check
know
it
any.
Out.
Don't know any, Bill. You have to let me know who likes the Beatles.
Check it out because the quality will surprise you, and the more familiar you are with those Beatles recordings, the more you'll enjoy it. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. So thank you to my guests, William Whitman and Russ Hughes, for sharing their thoughts on the new products released in November.